you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn to Ephesians, please. And I can safely say that this is my favourite book of the Bible. People always have their favourites and say it's my favourite, and then, like Dave, he changes it every week. Which just means he has a better grasp of the Bible than me. But Ephesians is certainly my favourite book. I did a series of talks on it some years ago called Decommissioned Sinners, Recommissioned Saints. Was that you, Denise, or who was that that sang out? Just to say thank you very much for that, because you know sometimes when you get led by the Spirit to sing out in a tongue or to speak out in a tongue, you're very afraid to do so because you're going to look like an idiot, or that's what you feel like. But I just was really blessed there, and then to have the interpretation was just wonderful, because I just said, you know, see, if there's no interpretation, I can make one up, because this is just wonderful. And it was just singing, I will praise you, I will bless you, I will tell of your great name. I will praise you, I will bless you, I will tell of your... It was beautiful. It was beautiful. So thank you for being open to God. Let's pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you this morning that the Spirit of God is here because we are here. That we, Lord God, the people of God, have come together to bless you, to humble ourselves before you, to hear what you've got to say, and then with the help that the Spirit of God gives us to obey you and do the things that you ask us to do. Lord, we love you, and we just want you to know this morning that you, Lord God, are the most important person in our lives. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the plans that you have for each of us. Help us, Lord, even when it seems difficult to believe. Help us to trust you, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Next week is our last talk on the subject, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, before we move on to I believe in the communion of the saints. And it's our teaching and learning cycle that we use every year. The Apostles' Creed is the doctrine in that sense that we're following. And our theme is the path to victory. And last week, Dave spoke about them and us, or the them and us mentality or pattern of the world's thinking, as opposed to the Holy Catholic Church's identity as citizens of heaven, and how we have our minds renewed and have the mind of Christ and have to be thinking differently than the world thinks. You see, we Christians, as we've sang, and the praise and the worship this morning was beautiful again, and thanks to Steph for that as well. But we Christians are a royal priesthood. You know, I see the Queen and all the royal family stand out in the balcony at Buckingham Palace, and the people, all these people standing all waving and everything at them, and I think, not lovely and all. And I always wind up and say, you know, when she does her New Year's honours list and her birthdays and all that, the cow forgot me again. You know, it's a joke to carry on, because you see all of this royal, it looks lovely. But you know what? We're as royal, if not more royal, than them. And we're here this morning. And God has deigned to be here with us. And he's here in the presence of his Spirit. That's the value that God puts upon us. My people are going to be meeting in Shiloh Christian Fellowship on the Skipperstone Road, and that wee hut, guess what? I'm going to be there. And we have royalty in that we have God himself here with us. And he's telling us, you are royalty, because you are my children. We're a royal priesthood unto God. We are a holy nation. That's the universal Catholic Church. We are his special people, brought from darkness into light. We serve a glorious king who enables us to leave behind, or as the Bible says, put to death the old them and us pattern, and has, among other things, tasked us to stand in the gap for those still in darkness who need the Lord. Let's read this morning from Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start from verse 4. It's a brilliant introduction to start with. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, in stark contrast to the ways of the world, the them and us mentality of the kingdom of darkness, which we once walked in stark contrast to this, the holy Catholic universal Church of Jesus exists to glorify the Lord and worship him by doing good works, which he has created for us to do. It says it here in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that's telling us that God has a plan. That God has a plan for each of our lives. That he has planned good works. That he has created not only us to do, but he has created them to be done by us. We have been graciously saved through faith in Jesus. Saved with a purpose to glorify God. But again, I just want to briefly remind ourselves from whence we came. Having been born into this world, having been born into the kingdom of darkness, where by nature we learn to develop our them and us mentality, we, because of sin, were without Christ. We were once without Jesus. Every one of us can put our hands up and say, well, I remember the days when I didn't know Jesus. But do we really understand what that means? In Glasgow, they use the term, or in Scotland, they use the term out with. Now, you could never understand why they wouldn't just say outside. But said out with. We were out with Jesus. We were well outside of Jesus. We were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. Now I'm saying here that probably the majority of us here are non-Jewish. And we are and were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. That means we were non-Jews, and therefore we had no part in any of the covenants that God had made with the Jews. We were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. In fact, it goes further. It says that we were strangers from the covenants of promise. And what that means is we didn't know anything. By experience, we didn't know anything of God's covenant promises. The scary thing here is he says, we were without hope. Now you need to understand what the writer's saying here. He's not saying that we once had a wee bit of hope and we lost it. Like that sense of dejected and feeling dejected. We were never dejected. We did not lose hope. We didn't ever have any hope. We were utterly hopeless. He goes on to say that we were without God in the world. We were godless and ungodly. And then he says we were far off from God. Our sin, the whole them and us mentality, like a vast chasm, separated us from God. You get the point of where we were outside of Jesus. Such was every Christian's position and condition before God graciously saved us through faith in Jesus. And such is the present position and condition of every person, whether they be Jew or Gentile. Such is their present position and condition if they are outside of Christ, if they are not yet saved. Unless by God's grace you're saved through faith in Jesus, this will be your position and condition for all eternity. And I need to stress this truth again for people who are here, but also for people who may be listening to the podcast. Unless by God's grace unbelievers are saved through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone, this will be their condition, their position and condition for all eternity. They will and shall remain without Christ. That means without Jesus, outside of Jesus. They will be forever aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. They will have no part whatsoever in God's covenant. They will and shall remain strangers from the covenants of promise. They won't know experientially anything of God's covenant promises. They will and shall remain without Christ, without hope, utterly, utterly hopeless. They will be without God in this world and in the next, far off from God, separated forever from God and from the life of God. But, and that's why I started in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But, and there's always beautiful buts in that sense in the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, by grace has saved us, that's Christians, through faith in Jesus his Son. And those of us who are saved are brought from the kingdom of darkness into God's glorious kingdom. We are adopted into his family and have become individual members of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Catholic Church of Jesus, that called out, separated people, exists to glorify the Lord and worship him by doing good works which he has created for us to do. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We exist. As Christians, we live to glorify the Lord and to worship him. And this morning it was beautiful to be able to celebrate the Lord in praise and in worship and in thanksgiving, and to come to the Lord's table and to eat of him, and by faith to receive of him. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We exist. We live to glorify the Lord and worship him. And we glorify the Lord and worship him by doing the good works he has created for us to do. Now, got to be clear about this. God has left no one out. When he has called us through faith in Jesus into this holy priesthood of service, he has left no one out. From the youngest member of the church to the oldest, we are all called to serve together to glorify him and to worship him. God has bestowed on each of us, therefore, a real sense of identity, of belonging and of purpose in life. Any Christian who says, oh, I don't have a sense of belonging, they need to get their eyes fixed properly on the Lord and on what his word says. Any Christian who says, oh, I have no purpose in my life, you're missing the point. You live to glorify God and to worship him. God has not made any mistakes. He has not left anyone out. When he called us through faith in Jesus into this holy priesthood of service, from the youngest member of the church to the oldest, we are called to serve together, to glorify him and to worship him. And God has bestowed on us, therefore, a real sense of identity. We should know who we are. I love the Queen and the royal family all standing on the balcony. I think it's beautiful. That's part and parcel of our country and the sovereignty of our country. I absolutely love to see Her Majesty the Queen, and I believe Her Majesty the Queen is a born-again Christian. I love to see that. But God says, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation called by God. We are called into God's family to serve the Lord by doing the good works that he has created us to do, and he has given us an identity. We are children of the living God. We are priests who serve the living God. All Christians, without exception, all Christians are called to be active participants in God's holy service. I was at a conference a few weeks ago in Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church called the Church Enabling Seniors, and trying to explain that old people are not write-offs and young people are not, in that sense, necessarily the future of the church. We are all active and equal participants within the body. And God can use people. Like, I was blessed this morning with Kathleen's prayer. I was blessed to hear the good news of little Cora. Are we not blessed in the morning when we see the children from the youngest coming up to the front to praise and worship the Lord as they minister and do the good works that God has called them to? We're all called to serve the Lord and to glorify him together. We are all expected to be active participants in God's holy service. There is no exceptions. There are no second-class citizens, and there are certainly no favorites. We are all called to serve the Lord together in the good works that he has created us to do. Now, one of the most obvious good works that he, the Lord, has called his people to serve and worship him in is the local church, the local body of believers. When you come here, or when Christians go to their place of worship, they are going to fulfill a good work that God has called us and prepared for us to do. I use the term local, as I believe, and I stress, I believe that we should seek to serve God in a local church. I know of Christians who travel miles to go to a church when there's over 50 local congregations nearby. What is that all about? Why would you travel miles upon miles to go to church when God has provided 50 local congregations where you could serve? You see, unless these Christians, and I stress this is my mentality, unless these Christians who travel miles to other churches consider themselves to be missionaries to those churches, they should be serving the Lord locally within a local body of believers. You see, to the unbelieving world, coming to church seems like a chore. To others, it's just a religious thing. It's what we do. It's what my mummy and daddy did, and we've just followed that through in that sense. It's a religious thing, going to church. But to the believer, to the born-again Christian, It is the fulfillment of one of the good works God has created for us to do. When you're coming to church, you're coming to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to listen to God's voice, and to take out whatever he says to you through the week to build you up, sustain you, and to maybe use you to bless other people. But you are coming to fulfill one of the good works that he has called you to do. Remember what it is that distinguishes us from all of the other people on the face of the earth. What is it? God is with us. And our desire to serve and glorify him together within the body, the church, also distinguishes us from the unbelievers. Your unbelieving neighbor knows that you are different when they see you leave your house to come to church. They don't think, there's my neighbor heading out to fulfill one of God's good works that he has created them to do. But they know that you are different because God has said so. What distinguishes you from your unbelieving neighbors, even from your unbelieving family, is that God is with you. And he has called you to come and worship as a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto God. This is why I don't understand the mentality of any Christian who can't be bothered to attend church or who has a take it or leave it attitude to church. Coming together within a local body of believers to serve and worship the Lord is one of the humblest good works that God has called us to do. Do you hear that? Coming together within a local body of believers to serve and worship the Lord is one of the humblest good works God has called us to do. And you know what? If we haven't got the humility to get right, or to get that right, how will God ever trust us to do the greater things of which Jesus spoke? If that's one of the most humble things that God has called us to do, to come together, to praise and worship him, to listen to his voice, and to take that out of this place till we meet again, if that is one of the most humble ones and we can't get that right, how is he going to ever entrust us with the greater things that Jesus spoke about? You see, I believe Christians should be committed to each other and to our local church. And our local church, the place where we serve God together, should be a place where we not only seek to be ministered to, but where we minister to others. Where we enjoy fellowship together and give of ourselves and our substance in worship of God and for his glory. You see, the path to victory is about putting off the old them and us mentality and the pattern of the world's thinking. It's about self-denial, denying the old pattern of thinking and seeking by God's help to serve others. And Gary, I'm probably going to be saying, and Billy saying, well, you didn't serve that woman who texted this morning and said, will you cut my grass, when I told her, sling your hook. These are some of the good works that God our Father has created us to do. And one of the most humble is to come to church to worship him together and to glorify him together. So Christian, by God's grace, and you know, I've heard it 1,000 times, grace is unmerited favor. Nothing you did earned God's love. Nothing you can do will earn God's love for you. By grace, Christian, by grace, you have been saved through faith in Jesus and in him alone. But you have been saved to serve, to do good works God created for you to do. Now, listen to what I'm saying. God created you. He saved you by his grace through faith in Jesus, and he had already prepared good works for you to do. No good saying, Lord, here am I, send Pat Maskelly. Lord, here am I, send Emmy. Lord, here am I, send Nolene. And he said, but I prepared those works for you to do, because I want you to do them so that you can glorify me and I can richly bless you, because it's you I want to bless through that good work. One of the most humblest of his good works is that we meet together locally with other believers to worship and glorify the Lord as we minister and serve the Lord. Why? Because he wants to bless you. Is God asking too much of us when he says we should seek to fulfill the humblest of his good works? Is he asking too much? I don't think so. Coming to church shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be the religious thing that we do. It should be our delight to come together with other Christians to worship and glorify the Lord. It should be like Kathleen prayed this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it should be. Thank you, Lord, for the strength to get up out of my bed and to come to church this morning to bless you, O God, and to fulfill this humblest of good works that you have called me to do. Because in my coming, I have blessed others who have come. And God blesses us for doing so. So, Christian, you're saved by grace. You're saved to serve. Don't look for the big, amazing purpose. I'm going to start a world organization to reach every starving African. That would be wonderful. Start with the humble things that God asks you to do. Come to church. Meet with your brothers and sisters, the Holy Catholic Church, and bless the Lord together. Anybody here this morning who's not yet saved, or listening to the podcast and is not yet saved? Well, I've already spoken of your position and your condition before God. If you are not a Christian, then you're without Christ. You're out with Jesus. You're an alien from the Commonwealth of Israel. You are a stranger from the covenants of promise. The promises of God mean nothing to you. You will not and cannot experience them. You are without hope, utterly hopeless. You're without God in this world. It doesn't matter what you think you have. If you haven't got God, you've got nothing. And as the word says, you are far off from God. And unless you repent, unless you turn around and believe and have faith in Jesus, you will be forever cut off from the life of God. I can only urge you today to confess your sin. That means to agree with God that you are a sinner and turn from your sin and trust in Jesus so that you might be saved from the kingdom of darkness and be brought into God's glorious kingdom, and through Jesus become a true member of the Holy Catholic Church. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you this morning for your faithfulness to each of us. Thank you, Father, for those of us who know you and love you dearly, that we learn this morning that we have been called to serve. You called us, Lord, into your family through Jesus Christ, your Son. And you have created good works for each of us to do, that in doing so, Lord, we glorify you. And one of the most humblest of those good works is that we meet together locally with other believers to bless you, our God, because you then bless us, strengthen us, and encourage us. Help us, Lord, please, to get this humblest of good works right. Help us to fulfill that good work each time and bring you glory. And Father, for anyone who is not yet saved by grace, we pray that you would draw them by your Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, that in him they might find life and life forevermore, and that they would begin to experience the wonderful purpose that you have for them and the wonderful good works that you have prepared beforehand for them to walk in. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.